Hey, everybody, welcome to yet another episode of this fucking goddamn show we call Deep. That doesn't sound right. It's right on the screen. Deep Fat Fried!
Woo! Took you long enough to find it.
Yeah, I was.
What were you waiting for?
I don't know, Paul. What are you waiting for, Paul?
I don't know, TJ.
Dude, if I knew the answer to that question. Yeah, fucking gozillionaire.
Sorry, TJ's gonna...
Scotty, by the way, you're a piece of shit, dude. You nearly got me caught. I killed someone in my dream last night, and then you kept fucking poking around asking all these damn questions and shit.
Well, dude, it's just because, like...
This homeless crackhead kept coming to my house.
Well, you should
and finally
him,
got
dude.
Sick of it, and I strangled him to death. And I started I bundled his body up in some blankets, and you're like, what's bundled up in your blanket?
I got to unleash my luscious locks. I don't even care what you were saying, TJ. I'm glad I almost got
Oh, yeah, cut. Everyone loves Scotty's hair.
Oh, let me just
unleash the locks.
Let me just free my hair.
So people were saying it was like the scene in the cliche scene in a 90s movie,
dude.
Where the like homely girl fucking lets her hair
down. Oh, damn, I'm
all
a homely girl.
Yeah, and all
I'm
of a sudden she's
girl.
Hot and shit, you know? Dude.
I'm a homely girl.
There was a petition for you to just like wear it like that all the time and all that.
Look at this photograph.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I do it makes
my luscious
me
luscious hair, TJ. And your lack of hair.
You are rocking the Chad Kroger, dude.
Yeah.
The short crop beard and the long blonde hair, dude.
That's true. This guy looks like Chad Kroger.
I'm fine being a member of Nickelback, dude. They're rich as shit.
Look at this photograph.
Yeah, what's Chad Kroger's net worth?
Like $100 million or something, dude. It's ridiculous.
I mean, they don't make no money no more, but he made a bunch back in the day.
He doesn't have to make no money. They made a deal with Live Nation for $100 mil, so I think they're like...
Live Nation's like, they're going to be popular forever.
I still think they do pretty well touring, dude.
Probably.
They're just like some fucking milquetoast rock band. It's like, it's rock music. I like rock music. I'll go.
$60 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad.
I love the way you look at me. I love the way you smack my ass.
That's Puddle of Mud.
So two-thirds of this show are fat, right? Right? Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
What's up?
Who's including that?
You and me.
I'm not fat.
Oh, sorry. So no. One-third of the show is
fat. I was told my whole life I was husky.
Yeah, okay, so we got one-third fat, one-third husky up on this show.
Yeah.
The word fat is right in our name. You know, originally I wanted to call this show the Southern Fried Podcast. It literally came to me in a dream. But I brought that to Paul and Scott. I think Paul was kind of like, Southern, I don't want it tied to no South, so fuck that.
Dude, Paul's prejudiced against the South.
I know.
He is.
So I ignored the wisdom.
Can you blame me?
Yeah, I don't.
Why do you feel so paranoid here, Paul? You always feel like you're like,
yeah, you scared.
Attack,
why are you
man?
Scared, bitch?
It's not
why,
about
why
me.
Are you scared, man?
I'm just a paranoid type, and this is the type of place where cops be sniffing around in your shit. And
you know,
be sniffing around.
Ain't nothing bad
down here, are you,
nosy
Paul?
Ass bullshit ain't down here.
Nothing bad happened
anyway,
to Paul since he lived here.
So a lot of people, you know, we changed our name. We ultimately morphed to Deep Fat Fried, and a lot of people at the time they kept wanting to call it Deep Fried Fat. You guys remember that shit?
Yeah, they had people had a real hard time with Deep Fat Fried at first.
Yeah, which is, you know, I mean, I thought it was pretty common knowledge that this method of cooking was called deep fat frying. And most people just call it deep frying.
Right.
But, you know, deep fried fat doesn't make sense. You don't fry fat. You're frying in fat.
Right.
So that's why it's called deep fat fried, deep fat frying. It's a cooking method. More importantly, though, fat is in the middle of our fucking name because fat is at the heart of what makes this show great.
Fat is where it's at.
Even our Patreon content is described in terms of food. We talk about the chef's table, the $5 chef's table, and then the chef's table is the $10 one.
Yep.
The buffet is the $5 one.
Right.
So we got a buffet, we got a chef's table. You know, it's all about, we describe our content in terms of delicious contento that, you know, the audience is being fed and stuff. So we have a strong relationship with eating, with food, with fatness.
I have to object to one thing you said, though.
Yes.
We didn't say that about the show. That's actually Señor Tomat.
Señor Tomat, of course.
That's right.
Who speaks for the show.
Well, obviously.
We haven't seen him around in a while, either.
Yeah, where's Tomat?
I don't know.
I think rumors of his demise are greatly exaggerated.
He's probably just off conquering a galaxy somewhere or something. He'll be back. So I think it's appropriate we talk once again about fatness. Bro, got some fat anime bitches here.
They fat.
They fat, bro.
They blubbergumptious.
Them fat ass anime bitches, bro. Suck on them big fat anime jelly rolls, man.
It's like, dude, their clothes are too small because they got fat so suddenly.
Yeah, sudden fat. You see all that fried food behind him, too, you know? It's implied they ate all that shit.
Damn.
So I think it's appropriate we talk about fatness once again. This time I'd like to look at two related phenomena. And the first is when a famous person who was formerly, you know, skinny or average or whatever the fuck becomes fat. Because it's kind of fascinating to me. The second is when it's the opposite. When a big, fat, famous person loses weight, starts to become a slight little pathetic twig of their former selves.
I mean, you have to admit, it is like you're giving something up. Because like when you're fat, it's like you're just saying, like, I'll eat whatever I want. I kind of just live the lifestyle I want. And then when you become skinny, it's like you're committing to, like, I'm going to work out and eat right and actually care about this.
So betrayal.
Let me talk to you guys about my genuine feelings about this. And I realize these feelings are irrational feelings. But I really like it when a celebrity gets fat. And I really dislike it when a fat celebrity gets skinny. It really does seem like I'm being stabbed in the fucking back fat. You know what I'm saying?
How do you know the ones that go back and forth?
Like, oh, the only one I can think that really yo-yos a lot like that is Oprah, who we might cover in this episode or we might not. She's kind of like an ace in the hole on this one. But the reason I didn't overtly pull her was because I started to get into it, and it's just so fucking hard to suss out. Because she just ballooned, and she just yo-yoed so much. It was just, I'm fat, I'm skinny, here's a diet supplement, I'm fat again, holy shit, you know? And she would constantly seesaw up and down, up and down, up and down. She's constantly peddling diet pills and diet this,
I don't know,
and diet
man.
That.
You know, I on the surface, I think your instinct was wrong, but I think, you know, honestly, if there's that much meat on that bone, then maybe it's just, you have to do an Oprah episode, TJ.
We've already done an Oprah video. I mean, I think she's definitely worth doing an episode on. But, man, it's just her career is so expansive and so many things have happened in it. It's kind of hard. Actually, doing this episode, I almost wanted to change it into an episode just about our first subject here. This man, who you might recognize as being Elvis Presley.
It's Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. He was kind of the Kurt Cobain of his time.
Of his time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was the predominant rock star of the age, the time, the place. He drove the fucking ladies crazy, drove their parents even more crazy in a different direction. You know, people all had a strong feeling about Elvis, and he fucking sold out giant fucking arenas and all that shit. But honestly, Elvis, his star has faded in recent years, because it turns out millennials, which is technically my generation, I guess, are not big on Elvis. You know, he doesn't get streamed nearly as much as other nostalgia acts like, say, the Beatles or David Bowie.
Sure.
Maybe this is due to exaggerated claims, or I can say, you know, it's up for debate whether they're exaggerated or not, but exaggerated claims, in my view, that he stole black music. The reality is that Presley was one of many artists in a biracial rock and roll movement, and he never hesitated to give credit where credit's due. There's this idea out there that Elvis just wantonly stole music from the black man and was just like, I made this. But here's Elvis talking about it. A lot of people think I started this business, but rock and roll was here a long time before I came along. Nobody can sing that kind of music like colored people, which, by the way, was the fucking acceptable term at the time, so fuck you. Let's face it, I can't sing like Fats Domino. I know that. So Elvis was not someone who was shying away from talking about his influences, talking about where his sound came from, shit like that. He was given credit where credit was due. Did Elvis have an unfair advantage over black artists because of his skin color? Absolutely. But that was not by his own design. He didn't create America's racism. In fact, he was a force against it. As one black publication at the time of his popularity stated, Presley makes no secret of his respect for the Negroes, once again, the appropriate terms of the time, nor for, of their influence on his singing. Furthermore, he does not shun them, either in public or private. So whether Elvis is widely listened to or not anymore, it's undeniable he inspired a great many people who are still listened to, such as the Beatles, as we mentioned before. John Lennon once said, "Nothing affected me until I heard Elvis. Without Elvis, there would be no Beatles." I can't begin to tell you how many bands were influenced by the Beatles. Obviously, we know Alice Cooper and Ozzy Osbourne. You know, basically, you take Elvis out of the fucking equation of the lineage of popular music, and the music we're listening to today is totally different than what
right.
it is now.
I mean, you can make a strong argument for pretty much any act that followed the Beatles that became popular in rock being influenced by their sound and
right,
production.
Absolutely. And of course, and if they're fucking saying it's all about John Lennon saying, hey, it's all about Elvis to me.
Effusive about Elvis.
Right. Even though Elvis ended up hating them later in life.
That's right.
The reason I'm getting into all this is because I want everyone to really grasp how vital Elvis Presley was to modern music. Because I know not everyone today likes him or respects him or necessarily listens to him, but I just feel like it's important that you grasp how fucking important he was before I remind you that he died fat as fuck on the toilet.
the before and after.
This is the best Elvis to me. The big fat rhinestone Elvis with... That would mop his brow with the thing and throw it to the ladies. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Baby.
Can you do an Elvis, Paul?
A little bit, yeah.
There you go. No. So David Deal of FestivalPeak.com writes, our last impression of Elvis is the fat Elvis of the 1970s. A sweaty, blubbery shell of his former self, spaced out on drugs in his gaudy Elvis suit as he butchers his song catalog on a Las Vegas stage, which is what we're looking at here.
Yep.
Beautiful, dude.
And that's kind of, that's the, I don't know if that's the enduring Elvis, you know?
In my mind.
So when I say Elvis, do you see...
I think of this Elvis.
Do you see young, skinny...
No.
Popular, fucking... this Elvis was popular, too. I can't take that away from him.
He was, for sure.
Scotty, if I was to just say Elvis, obviously it's kind of biasing you to have it on the screen at the time, but like, if you're just out and about and you just picture Elvis in your head, if someone says Elvis Presley, do you see this Elvis or do you see this Elvis?
It just really depends. Sometimes, like, if we're talking about the end of Elvis, like pretty much past his prime, I think of this Elvis. If we're talking about before...
But if I just say Elvis Presley and you just... Where's your mind?
Probably younger Elvis, honestly.
Gotcha. All right, so the thing about Elvis's later years is they're kind of maybe a little bit unfairly maligned. Elvis's tenure in Vegas actually helped to draw in middle America in a time when Vegas was struggling to appeal to that exact demographic. You know, Vegas had kind of become not a very hip town. It was kind of just for the gamblers, you know, and that's not enough to sustain that city. You need people coming for other reasons. And Elvis was doing this twice nightly show that was a huge success, and it kind of proved that a big enough star didn't need to go on tour to make money. And Elvis, you know, Frank Sinatra kind of blazed the trail for him a bit there, but Frank was always more of something like, you know, hey, I'm going to go to Vegas and gamble, and maybe I'll catch a Frank Sinatra show. But people would go to Vegas specifically to see Elvis. So as author Richard Zoglin, author of Elvis in Las Vegas, wrote in the New York Times, Elvis brought something new to Las Vegas, not an intimate Rat Pack-style nightclub show, but a big rock concert extravaganza. He showed that rock and roll and country and R&B, too, could work on the big Vegas stage, and he brought in a new kind of audience, not the Vegas regulars and high rollers, but a broader, more middle American crowd, female fans who had screamed for Elvis as teenagers, families who made Elvis the centerpiece of their summer vacation. So Elvis was a huge draw to Vegas, and of course, Vegas loves anything that's going to get people in Vegas because, you know, like most tourist traps that, you know, we talk about in our tourist traps episode, it's all about get them there with some kind of razzle-dazzle and then part them with as much of their money as you possibly can.
Well, bless my soul, what do I see? A big cheeseburger and it's covered in cheese.
Oh, he'll go way further than that.
I hope you cover his favorite sandwich in this episode.
Oh, don't you fret, my friend. And it's not what you think. I actually learned that was one of his favorite sandwiches, but there was a sandwich he liked better.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So, you see here, this is a giant marquee outside of this this theater for Elvis. You know, you see Ike and Tina Turner there on the side.
Ike and Tina Turner.
Ike and Tina Turner are coming, but Elvis!
Elvis! You know? So, unfortunately, though, Elvis kind of became a victim of his own success. So, this two shows a night for weeks at a time. You know, we've been doing a fucking pretty rough schedule ourselves, but I mean, it's nothing compared to what Elvis was doing
right.
this time.
Fuck no.
I mean, we've been for the last couple weeks, we've been doing shows every day to get some in the bank so that we have some time to work on some of these other projects we're working on. And I'm sure the audience will see the results of the fruits of those labor pretty soon. But it's nothing compared to what Elvis is doing, you know, especially as a big fat dude getting up on stage, belting out all these tunes, two shows a fucking day, weeks at a time without a fucking break. So Elvis started taking pills to wake up and pills to go to sleep. Never a good sign. It's when you have to regulate your body's sleep cycle with medication to that extent, it tends to be a pretty bad warning sign. He also ate excessively. His diet was insanely poor. One of his favorite sandwiches, which Scotty was just referencing a minute ago, is a peanut butter and banana sandwich, which he also liked to add heaps of bacon onto. He was a big fan of peanut butter. He was a big fan of bacon. Okay? But that's not his favorite sandwich.
And was that by the way, wasn't that also deep fried?
Yes.
Yes.
It was also a deep fried sandwich.
Thank you.
So you take peanut butter, banana, bacon, put it on a sandwich, deep fry that son of a bitch. You got yourself a fucking sandwich.
That sandwich is now called the Elvis, by the way.
This is Elvis's private plane here, the Lisa Marie, named after his daughter. Elvis was so fucking fat that at one time he flew for 2 hours in a private jet, spent $16,000 to fly to a restaurant in Denver called the Colorado Mine Company because they had a sandwich on the menu called the Fool's Gold Loaf.
Fool's Gold Loaf.
The Fool's Gold Loaf.
Whoa.
Take a whole loaf of Italian bread.
Gotcha.
Slice it lengthwise. Hollow it out and slather it with margarine. Then add a whole jar of jelly and a whole jar of creamy peanut butter, creating two large boats of peanut butter and jelly.
Wow.
Finally, add a whole pound of fried bacon. Before adding the bacon, dab away the grease on paper towels.
Of course.
Then reunite the sandwich halves, deep fry, and serve.
Wow. I'm fucking flabbergasted. I want one of these so fucking bad.
TJ,
right
you
now.
Know what?
All right, so yeah, what's up, Scotty?
I want to point out that I bought a deep fryer.
Yeah,
for that turkey, dude.
Cool.
Maybe I need to make one of these.
Well, listen, you might not want to deep fry it because everything else I've looked at seems to suggest the deep frying thing is an exaggeration. But everything else about the recipe seems to be spot on. The sandwich is tens of thousands of calories. It's sometimes referred to as the sandwich that killed Elvis.
Sweet. They still sell it?
Yes. The Colorado Mine Company is no longer in business, but one of the cooks started their own restaurant, and they still offer this item to this day. Now, typically, you don't eat this entire sandwich. This is chopped up into pieces and shared. But when Elvis arrived in Colorado, the restaurant owner of the owner and his wife of the Colorado Mine Company actually met him at the tarmac with 22 of these.
What?
And Elvis and his guest actually spent 3 hours chit-chatting and eating these sandwiches.
22 of them?
22.
How many people do you have with him?
Like four.
Damn, dude.
Four or five. It was not a big group. And they apparently sat around eating these sandwiches for hours. I don't know how many were left when all is said and done, if any were left. But Elvis Presley was a very self-indulgent eater. Now, it's likely that this sandwich literally did kill him. Maybe not this particular sandwich, but his diet in general. Because... the most likely cause of Elvis's death was constipation.
Damn. Couldn't shit,
now,
dude.
He was on opiates and stuff. His doctor, who was a lot of people blame his doctor for his death, by the way, Dr. Nick, which is probably how the Simpsons got the name of their quack doctor,
Hi,
by the way. Hi, everybody. You know, so, The coroner actually found over 35 pounds of white, chalky fecal matter in Elvis's colon at the time of his death.
White and chalky?
White and chalky. As humiliating as this fact is, he was found on the floor in front of his toilet. His colon, during the autopsy, was found to be 5 to 6 inches. Now, I don't know if that's width or circumference, but I know that that's double the normal size. The length of his colon was between 8 and 9 feet. The average is 4 to 5 feet. So, obviously, there was this huge backup in his colon that was actually distorting his colon to be about twice the size of a normal human colon. The examiners found food that had been in his colon, they estimated, for 4 to 5 months.
Jesus.
What the fuck, dude?
They said Elvis Presley's body was basically toxic, and that it's a wonder he lasted as long as he did. Now, a lot of people, it's not 100% known that this is what causes death. There was some heart condition stuff, but the heart attack might have been brought on by him straining once again to try to pass this horrible mass of white, chalky fecal matter.
Jesus.
That was trapped in his oversized, swollen colon.
He needed the fucking colon cleanse, dude.
Sounds like a good band name, Swollen Colon.
Swollen Colon. So, Elvis,
damn,
you may have lived your life, the majority of it, without man titties. And without a flabby ass, but you died with months worth of peanut butter and bacon rotting in your no longer functional bowels. So bless you, Elvis, for you are one of us. May your soul dine forever in the buffets of fat heaven.
Yeah, dude. If there is a heaven, I hope
Elvis
is
there.
Up there right now eating a fool's gold loaf.
So sad.
Paul's dead.
You know what's not sad, though?
What's not sad, Scotty?
Us getting more money!
Woo!
Woo! So we have an offer this month.
Patreon! Patreon! Everybody loved a Patreon. Special November shit.
Patron's Choice.
Patron's Choice Awards.
You hunger for more content.
Featuring Johnny Depp.
More Flash Ride. More Cinema for Cine.
Johnny Depp might actually...
DFF.
Yeah.
Made to order for you. Stuff yourself.
Are you trying to do the Tamat voice?
Yes.
I guess since Paul's dead, you're going to have to take over.
Correct, TJ.
Correcto mundo.
You are wise, TJ.
Yes.
You pitiful little worm. I will crush you, TJ.
Brutal. That's against the law now.
No, TJ. Not for Tamat. It is not.
So anyway, what do we got from this month, Johnny?
Well, more Flash Ride, more Cinever Cynix, more DFF. What the fuck do you want?
Woo?
So guys, a lot of people want their topic, Deep Fat Fried.
Yeah.
$5 and $10 people are both going to have a chance to make that happen.
Yeah.
What about, you know what, I really want the guys to watch this movie and do a commentary on it.
You guys get to choose. Let me just tell them what they get, Scotty.
All right.
They get to choose one episode of Deep Fat Fried, patrons only selection. They get to choose one fucking, what's that other thing we do?
Cinema
for Cynics thing. Get to choose one movie commentary movie. And then they get to choose also... some stories for Flash Fried 1 week.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. It's going to be magical.
Because people always complain, you guys don't listen to your fans.
We're going to prove you wrong. We're going to listen to you.
We're going
to
fucking listen.
We're going to listen till you can't even fucking stand us listening no more, you pieces of shit.
Go become a patron. Do it now.
Do
if
it.
Not, I
you
guess
you
won't.
Stupid bastards.
And we'll be sad.
By the way, I know a lot of people have been wondering, like, what the fuck's going on with the talent show shit. We got the rules all lined out. We've been doing a bunch of fucking makeup shows lately. Because we're going to start working on the studio, and we're probably going to use that same time that the studio is being worked on to put the contest out there and give you guys some time to get your submissions in line. So expect some announcements on that coming probably sometime next week. I know I've said it before, but this time I really mean it.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen. The rules are all written out. We know exactly what categories are going to be. We know exactly how it's going to be structured. We're just waiting for the opportune time to roll it out, which is probably going to be probably late next week.
A lot of show updates coming. Another note, we have Dank D&D is going to be coming back. There are some things that we are still working on, trying to perfect the show. But that is because we want you guys to be blown away.
Blown.
And that's what we're hoping for.
We're trying to blow you.
And we're getting closer and closer. So.
Yep. So lots of new developments. I know we've been touting this stuff for a while, and people are probably like rolling their eyes at this point, like, God damn, is it ever going to happen? Yes, it's going to fucking happen. It's like... we're 99% of the way there on a lot of this shit, and we're just trying to get that little 1% devil in the details bullshit taken care of.
Well, with D&D, we established something. We established every time that we did it a little bit bigger and a little bit better.
This time we're going a lot bigger, a lot better.
And you guys are going to see the final product.
It's a lot sexier.
Some patrons have already seen the studio, but the studio is not even complete yet.
We're going to have big, large, heaving, naked breasts. Well, no, because it's YouTube, so we're not going to do that.
I mean, if we could
pull
it off.
We're going to get as close to that as we can. As close to that as we fucking can.
Women in loincloths.
Oh, yeah.
Except we can't deliver that because we're a bunch of
neckbeards. It's going to be fucking sexy. We're going to just hire some strippers and put them in, like, D&D shit. And have them dance in the background. It's going to be crazy. There's going to be fireworks. There's going to be pyrotechnics.
There's not going to be any of that.
Yeah, I know. But, you know.
There's going to be some cool lights and
there's
stuff.
There's going to be that in spirit, though,
it's going to be
Scotty.
Atmospheric, TJ.
In spirit. Okay. I think we should do all that. Why aren't we doing all that?
Someday.
We're aiming for that.
We're aiming for that.
Final destination.
Yeah.
But we're on
not
our
even
way.
That is, TJ. No one knows.
Oh, that's not even. Yeah, who knows?
The sky is the limit.
Eventually, we're just going to repurpose the entire universe into one extended Pessimist Productions production.
That sounds good to me.
So, become a patron. Help with our global conquest. Help with our galactic. Fuck that. Help with our universal. Fuck that. Help with our multiversal conquest.
There you go. Finally.
Yes. There's no limit to our ambitions. But first, you have to become a patron. The more money you give us, the crazier shit we can do.
The only way it's going to happen.
Crazier shit we
become
can do.
Become a fucking patron.
Oh, yeah.
Peace.